Hello, welcome to the Harvard EdCast, a series of conversations with thought leaders in the field of education from around the country and across the world. I'm your host, Jill Anderson, filling in for Matthew Weber. Today, we are here with Ashley Ford, a writer and editor. Recently, Ashley tweeted about an easy way to make a difference in young people's lives by calling their local schools and offering to pay student lunch debt. The tweet inspired a campaign that raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to do just that. Welcome to the EdCast, Ashley.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
So you've written a lot and for a lot of well-known publications. Did you ever think that writing a tweet would make such an impact and motivate people?
You know, I've seen it happen before. I don't think I assumed it would happen here because it wasn't attached to anything super timely. Like it wasn't attached to any news item or anything like that. It was really just some random thoughts on a random day. I'd done a little research about, you know, the lunch debt, and I'd read an article that sort of upset me with some comments that a politician had made about kids who received free or reduced lunch. And, you know, I don't like to complain on the internet without offering a solution, something people could do to help if they agreed with me. So, it happened, but I definitely didn't see it coming.
I mean, you just talked a little bit about how you'd written an article and so school lunch was on your mind. But I'm curious, what really kind of compelled you to write that tweet?
Well, a couple of things. One is I was a kid who was on free and reduced lunch for most of the time that I was in school. And I know what it's like to be in different situations when you're on free and reduced lunch. The school I went to regularly, it was not a big deal that I was on free or reduced lunch. They had a whole system for kids who were on free or reduced lunch. There was no calling out of students. You know, there was no specific targeting of students who were in that situation. So I was raised to think it wasn't like a really big deal that I was on free or reduced lunch. It wasn't something that felt like, you know, it said anything about who I was or, you know, my situation or how much my parents cared about me or anything like I read in this article. And I also just have a really strong aversion to anything that punishes children for the decisions of adults. I'm not into it. So I don't want to see people talking about, you know, well, if the parents got it together, then this wouldn't be a problem. Or, you know, if the parent cared enough, this wouldn't be a problem. Because you know what? Like my mom, nobody loved me in this life more than my mother. And I was on free and reduced lunch, you know, and the only time I was made to feel weird about it was when I left the school where they had the systems, you know, set up to not, you know, alienate kids who were on free or reduced lunch. And two or three times a week, I would have to go to, or usually two times a week, I would have to go to a different school because I was technically in gifted classes and my school didn't really have anything for kids who were considered gifted. So I had to go to a school that was on the nicer part of town with kids who typically did not qualify for free or reduced lunch because their parents already made enough money. And when I would go to that school, they would have to pull out this big red binder whenever I went to go get my lunch. And they would have to pull through this binder, and it would hold up the whole line. And the lunch workers had no idea how to deal with the fact that I was a kid who was on free or reduced lunch. And it clearly annoyed them. It annoyed everybody behind me in line. And it just became this huge, like, weight for me to the point where I would often just not eat because these people were making me feel like something was wrong with me. Because my mom didn't make enough money to, you know, afford for me to have lunch at school. And I see things like that, and I know this is like a lot of rambling, but I see things like that, and I can't imagine why we would think that was okay or why we would think that something like that actually helps kids.
Through your research, writing an article, and even your own personal experience, what do you think people just don't get about these kids and families who are on free and reduced lunch?
I think I would start by saying that kids who are hungry can't learn. I mean, think about even as adults, think about when you don't get your coffee before a meeting and how hard it is to focus during that meeting. Think about how you get in the middle of the day if you've delayed lunch or skipped lunch in the middle of your workday. Like, I mean, it's almost impossible to keep going in a way that is, like, truly focused. Like, you might be able to get through it, but you know what? You probably would have both felt better and got more done if you'd stopped and taken a break to eat and to refuel yourself and your body so that your brain can be, you know, hyper-focused on your actions instead of, you know, sort of scrambling for nutrients in your body. And the same is true for kids, except worse, because they're growing. You know, and we all know, like, anybody who has ever been around a growing kid knows how much they eat, knows that they become, like, garbage disposals. They're eating everything and all the time. So imagine a kid going through an entire school day, 6-something a.m. to 3-something p.m., no food. No food for that amount of time. It's cruel, and it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't lend itself to the bigger goal of education, which is to provide a safe space for kids to nurture their minds and their learning ability. Like, it goes against that credo to not feed children. And I think what a lot of people don't understand about the families or the adults is that, you know, it can be harder to come up with that amount of money in a week than people understand. And I think they also don't understand that I've never met a parent who didn't want their kid to eat or who didn't want their kid to have enough. I've never met a parent who wanted that. I have met parents who wanted their kids to have the world, you know? And the same was true in my family with me and my mother. My mother wanted me to have the world. She absolutely did. But my mom worked government job, and we were not on welfare. We were not on anything like that. My mother worked. She raised 4 kids, all 4 of us by herself. And we were, for the most part, really well taken care of. And the only thing she needed help with was lunch. She needed some help with lunch in the middle of the day so that we would be able to eat and to thrive. And that didn't make us less than our peers. And it didn't make us any sort of like a liability. It didn't make us someone else's responsibility. Because the truth of the matter is, kids are all of our responsibility. If we don't take care of kids in this country, we have no future. We have no future. So I guess that's what I would say, is that, you know, these are not families who are just waiting for someone else to pick up the slack. These are families who would very much love to be able to do it on their own, and in a lot of cases have not been able to.
Have you heard from any of the students or families in communities where some of the campaign money was raised for school lunches?
Only one. I had one woman tweet me that someone had walked into her school that day and paid off all of the accounts. All of the overdue accounts in the school, and she said that they had paid off her child's account and that she hadn't been able to come up with the money to pay off the account, and it was a huge weight off her shoulders, you know, and thanking me for coming up with the idea. So that's happened one time, but otherwise I've just had mostly people reach out to me who either wanted to do it or had already done it and just wanted to let me know what the experience was like to do it.
What was that like for you to hear from that one person, or even just to hear from people who are taking action and doing something?
It gives me hope. It gives me hope in a time where, like, I think I could fall victim in a lot of ways to despair. I can't completely. Like, I can't lean into despair and I can't lean into hopelessness, because the evidence is on my computer every day. Every day since I tweeted that tweet, at least one person has tweeted me about it. every day since December 6th. So over 2 months, I'm getting like tweets from people who either, or emails or messages from people who just want to let me know that they either love the idea, did the idea, or were helped by the idea in some way. And that is beautiful. Like, coming up with the idea is whatever, right? Like, it's not even really like people have done this before. I am not the first person in the world to say, you know, maybe pay off lunch debts. Like, this is something that there have been people like trying to do this for a really long time. Now, I didn't know that when I tweeted it, but I want to make it clear that, like, this is not, like, I'm not the first person to come up with this idea or something. What's beautiful is that I tweeted the idea, and these other people decided to make it happen in their own communities. That's the thing that really just, like, that is the thing that overwhelms me, is the idea that people saw it and decided to take action on their own. Because sometimes I think the world will have you think that people don't do that. If you don't give them a specific thing, if you don't include a link and say, you know, donate to this specific thing, then they just won't do it. Like, people have no interest in doing, like, the work of, you know, building, you know, something that is right for their own community, something that is right locally instead of just, you know, globally. And they're wrong. Because these people, all the money has been raised so far. I think the most accurate number I have is about $150,000 has been donated to pay off lunch debt. And that is from all of these people who are not working together, are people who, like, decided to get together with people who live where they live and make this thing happen. And that's wonderful. That's beautiful. That gives me a lot of hope.
It is really amazing.
Yeah.
Have you given any thought to some other small ways you think people might be able to make a difference in children's lives?
Oh, absolutely. Because I think all the time about how many people made a difference in my life and picked up the slack. You know, my mother, like I said, was a single mother, a working single mother with four children, and I was the oldest. So, you know, you don't really get, you know, a whole lot of attention when you're the oldest of four kids with a single working mother. And the ways that people have helped me in the past that I'm always thinking about are ways to help children. Sometimes it's like donating things. Sometimes it's like kids need uniforms. Kids need books that they can take home and have that are just theirs, that they can own. Kids need food, absolutely. But, you know, to get a little deeper and a little beyond that, kids need mentors. Kids need guidance. Kids need an adult who will say, I believe in you, and I believe in your dreams, and I can, you know, actually help you in certain ways with, you know, getting you closer to those dreams and goals. And, you know, I think, like, the best thing, to be perfectly honest, any adult can give a kid is their time. Because kids desperately, desperately want to be validated. They desperately want to have the opportunity to have someone who they see as very successful or who they see as, like, having it together say, oh, you can do this too. That is totally possible. So I think that is a big thing that we're going to have to really focus on with kids a lot is, you know, how can we invest our time in them, because that really is the most precious resource we have. And even if they don't understand that right away, they will. You know, I didn't always understand what it meant that teachers spent extra time with me or community members spent extra time with me. But as an adult, I often realized that is the difference, sincerely, the difference between telling a kid they can do anything and sort of showing them that you actually believe they can do anything.
I think, you know, a lot of people listening would probably agree with you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ashley, for talking with us today about ways to impact young children's lives. Where can people interested in learning more about you find you?
You know, I have a website called just ashleycford.com, and I'm on Twitter at iSmashFizzle. and I'm always around. My emails, my Twitter, like I'm probably too connected. So yeah.
Well, this has been the Harvard EdCast, a production of the Harvard Graduate School of Education. I'm your host, Jill Anderson. Thank you very much for listening.